Archers for the week 11 to 16 July 1999.
Taking charge of things at Bridge Farm.
You can just leave the lunch to me.
I'm not completely helpless.
Of course you aren't, dear.
Well, at least let me lay the table.
It won't take me 5 minutes.
Oh, dear.
You just enjoy a bit of peace for once.
Peggy...
It'll do you no harm at all to take it easy.
What's Jack doing for his lunch?
I've made some sandwiches for him. He's gone to the cricket at Pennyhassett.
I'm glad Tony's decided to play.
Yes, so am I.
He deserves to enjoy himself.
Now then, Pat, listen.
I haven't been much fun lately.
I'm sure he doesn't think like that. What happens when I think of what you've all been through? What you're still going through?
Yeah, it's hard for him and I'm not coping. He feels helpless.
The joint's nearly ready.
Mm, it smells wonderful.
Oh, nothing like a nice leg of lamb for Sunday lunch. From Jack's special butcher in Borchester.
How's the birthday party shaping up?
Oh, Caroline's doing a wonderful job organising it.
Of course she is.
But all I want, all that Jack wants, is for the whole family to come together, to bury their differences and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, of course. So do I. So does Tony.
So does Tony Mott. That smells good, Mum.
The potatoes need 5 more minutes, then we're all ready. Hello, Tommy.
Hi, Gran.
Expect you're ready for this.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been doing?
Weeding the leeks. So does Tony Mott.
Pardon, dear?
Well, Pat was saying when we came in. So does Tony.
Want to have a harmonious family occasion on Jack's birthday.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Mum. Just hope that Brian and Jennifer feel the same way, that's all.
Oh, Tony.
No, I'm sorry, but that's how it is. And I'm sorry I can't stay for lunch. As Pat told you, playing cricket at Pennyhassett this afternoon. I'm running a bit late.
I'll carve you a couple of slices from the joint and make you a sandwich.
Oh, no thanks. I'll have to buy petrol on the way. I'll grab a sandwich at the garage. I'm really sorry, Mum.
Oh, don't worry. I'll leave you some to heat up when you get in.
Oh, that's great. Tommy and I thought we might as well finish the field.
You're not dashing off as well, Tommy.
No, I'm not playing.
Right, I'll say cheerio then. See you later, love. Bye, Mum.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a shame.
He'll enjoy it when he comes in.
You hungry, Tommy?
Starving.
I thought you might be playing cricket this afternoon.
No chance.
Well, how's that? I thought you were really keen.
Conditions of bail.
Sorry?
I'm not allowed to play.
Surely you're allowed a game of cricket.
I'm not allowed to go anywhere where I might meet someone who could be called as a prosecution witness. You know, when my trial comes up.
Oh, yes, I see.
Does seem terribly harsh.
Yes, you're right, it does. But I'm glad to hear you're obeying the conditions.
Now, I'm not one to talk about someone behind their back.
Sid, I'm sorry, I haven't got the time. I've got to get on the field.
Just look at it.
Oh, damn these boots.
Is that any way to set your field?
They seem to have shrunk since I last put them on.
Where did he put David and Mid on?
Well, we seem to be getting the wickets at least.
That's not it, though, is it, Tony?
Isn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't have put Pennyhassett in to bat, for starters.
Ah, Tony, good. You've arrived.
Oh, sorry I'm so late, Alistair.
No, no, it's all right. Young Chris Carter's standing in for you at long leg.
Oh, thanks. When I can get this boot on.
No, it's okay. New batsman's still on his way out.
How's he going?
Well, they're 40 for three now.
Oh, terrific. Well, just a minute. Right. There, done it.
The fielding's very sharp this afternoon, Alistair. It's a pleasure to watch them. Oh, hello, Tony, Sid.
Hi.
Oh, good move, that, putting him into bat first.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Right, Tony, here we go.
Alistair.
Yep?
Shouldn't David be closer in at mid-arm?
Don't think so. Gotta go.
He's in the wrong position. He can't save a single from there.
Surely that's for Alistair to decide.
Mr. Woolley, you may be captain of the team, but I am manager, don't forget. And I say David's far too deep at the moment.
I think Alistair knows what he's doing.
Ah, well, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I can't just stand here. Watch this happening.
What are you going to do?
Oh, I'm going to tell David. Move in another 10 yards.
Sid.
Sorry, Mr. Woolley.
I honestly think that
I'm sure I'm right about this. You wait and see. David?
Phil says the whole business is quite absurd.
But what exactly does Janet want to do?
Bertie's totally opposed, of course. As church warden, I'd have thought his opinion carried more than a little weight.
Oh, surely nobody's suggesting...
As Phil pointed out, many of the hymn books have been donated by parishioners. Some of them are even in memoriam.
Yeah, but I didn't think Janet had any intention of getting rid of the old hymn books.
I don't suppose the poor old English hymnal is regarded as politically correct these days.
Oh, dear. I hear the church brochures are selling well.
Well, I must say I've never been able to come to terms with the idea of selling booklets in the church.
They'll help towards paying for the new bells, won't they?
I don't know, Pat. That's as maybe. I just feel the church is far too commercial these days.
Surely that's because it hasn't any choice.
Maybe you're right. Anyway, I shall have to be going soon. Jack will be back from his cricket, and I'll have to start thinking about supper.
Peggy, you've done nothing but cook all day.
I was only too glad to be of help.
It's delicious. I do appreciate it. We all do.
Now, you're seeing the doctor tomorrow, you say?
Yes.
Now, remember, Pat, be sure to tell him exactly how you feel. That's what doctors are for. Write a list down before you go. If you're anything like me, once you're in there, you forget absolutely everything you were intending to say.
He'd been very good.
I like Dr. Hathaway. A really positive addition to the village. Especially...
I don't say it, Peggy.
Say what?
Compared with the last one.
I wasn't thinking anything of the kind. The least said about that particular gentleman, the better. And she's lovely, Siobhan.
Yeah, they seem to be getting on very well with Nigel and Elizabeth.
They hit it off straight away, didn't they?
They've obviously got a lot in common.
Obviously. And isn't it grand to see Elizabeth so happy? She's positively aglow. The question I'd like answered, though, is...
Where Nigel and Elizabeth planning for Millennium Babies?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think quite a few people have been wondering that.
We won the match, though, didn't we?
That's hardly the point, Sid, and you know it.
Look, I'm sorry if I took the law into my own hands.
You did that all right.
But according to my judgment, as team manager...
I'm supposed to be in charge of everything on the pitch. You shouldn't have been interfering.
It just looked wrong, David being in that position.
But he was there for a reason.
I was acting on my instincts.
Instincts?
Yeah, that's right, instincts. Instincts that have been honed by a good many years of experience in the field of village cricket, I might add. No pun intended.
Sid... No one's disputing your years of experience.
No, of course not.
But just think about the consequences of what you did this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I admit it was a stroke of bad luck.
Bad luck?
Tony, I'm sorry, but do you mind?
Oh, that's OK. I've got to get on there. See you, Sid. Alistair.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks. You played well today.
Oh, thanks. Not bad, was I?
Now, Alistair,
when you moved David...
You're right, I admit it.
Yes.
I might have been wrong about that.
He missed a perfectly straightforward catch. Anyone could have caught it in the position I gave him.
I just thought...
When I saw where he was, I was furious with him. Till he told me you sneaked onto the pitch and told him to move.
It was unfortunate.
Unfortunate? David had to leap 3 feet in the air to try a one-handed catch instead of getting his easiest catch of the season.
What I'm saying
Look, Sid,
is...
I'm the team captain.
Yeah, nobody's disputing
I knew
that
what I was doing. I take the responsibility for what happens on the field of play. I mean total responsibility. And if things go wrong, the buck stops with me. If I make a mess of things, you can be the first person to tell me so.
It was a very good result.
Well, thank you. The point is, Sid, you're far too valuable to us off the pitch. Keeping an objective eye on things with all your expertise, your background experience, all your contacts, your knowledge of the local cricket scene.
Publicans never short of contacts.
Exactly my point, Sid. Exactly.
So you left Alistair trying to drum some sense into Sid?
It was quite funny, really.
Well, I'm glad you had a good game.
Oh, yeah. I whacked a couple to the boundary.
Good for you.
And how was your afternoon? Mum give you a hard time?
Oh, she means well.
Of course she does. Hang on, this is delicious.
Summer, that makes it even worse. I kept wanting to say to her, look, however fascinating the subject of the new hymn books may be...
Oh, no, not the new hymn books.
I just wanted to crawl off and hide somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Mum has that effect on me sometimes. Do you need a rest now?
No, I'm fine. I've hardly seen you all day.
Well, here I am, covered in glory.
And the weeding's nearly done?
Yeah, she'll finish it off tomorrow. Well, I must say, Tommy's really putting his back into the work.
Probably helps him keep his mind off his problems.
I'll get him on the tractor tomorrow. He can mow that bit of grassland.
Yeah, he'll enjoy that.
You going to see Dr. Hathaway tomorrow?
Yes, Peggy was going on about that too.
Sorry.
It's all right. Yes, I am going to see him in the afternoon.
Oh, good.
It's been a tough old week. It's knocked me back a bit. Finding it difficult to keep up with even the routine things, things I can usually do in my sleep.
Well, it'll take time, love.
I know.
Where is Tommy?
He went out somewhere in the van.
Where? Do you know?
Oh, we have to be able to trust him, Tony. We can't always be asking him where he's going.
No, of course not.
I don't want him to start being furtive, you know, making up stories to cover himself.
Well, that's absolutely the very last thing we want.
Tommy, what a nice surprise.
Well, I was on my way home. Thought I'd just drop in.
It's an unexpected pleasure.
I've got something to tell you.
Well, you can always come to me with anything that's on your mind, Tommy. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
So, go on, then.
Right. It's about Grandad's party.
We're both looking forward to it very much. It'll be such a nice family occasion.
Yeah, I know.
You must be looking forward to it, too.
I was.
You were?
Not anymore.
Oh, you mustn't worry. It's for family and close friends only. It won't be like the cricket club dinner. I know you felt very awkward.
You're right there.
It was hardly surprising. You'd just spent a week in that awful place.
It's called prison, and I don't want to go back there.
And you won't have to. Not if you obey the instructions of the court.
Well, that's the whole point. I can't come to the party.
Oh, of course. I think I understand. The conditions of bail that stopped you playing cricket.
Exactly.
You mustn't mix with anyone who might be called by the prosecution when your case comes to court.
Got it in one.
Oh, dear, Tommy. I suppose that applies just as much to a family birthday party as anything else.
Well, David will be there for a start. I don't want to take any risks.
Oh, of course you don't. And as I said to you at lunch, I'm very glad you're sticking to the conditions laid down. You are sticking to them, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. I wouldn't have come here tonight if I wasn't, would I? Anyway, I didn't want you to think that I was staying away for any other reason.
Of course not.
I really wanted to be there, for Grandad's sake, to say happy birthday to him.
I'll tell him you told me so. I'm sure he'll understand. And he'll be grateful to you, as I am, for being so thoughtful.
That's all right, then.
And thank you for coming to talk to me.
No problem. It's going to be good, then, is it?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely marvellous. Caroline's working terribly hard. The only thing is, Jack keeps going on at me to wear that awful dress.
The one you wore at the fashion parade?
That's the one. Still, if it makes Jack happy. And I'm still working on Hazel. If she turns up, it'll absolutely make his day.
A difficult morning at Honeysuckle Cottage.
What's the matter?
I don't feel too great, I'm afraid.
Come back to bed. Come on.
Actually, I've had a bit of a shock.
What do you mean?
I'm bleeding.
Right.
I just had a pee.
And?
And I noticed some blood on the toilet paper.
What's it like? I mean, what colour?
Quite dark. Not very much.
Listen, darling, it's probably nothing whatever to worry about.
I just feel a bit panicky.
It's all right. It's not what you expect to see.
I'm being silly. Sorry.
No, you're not being silly. We're going to have it checked out.
If you think so.
Yes, absolutely. It's common, you know, this sort of thing round about now.
Yes.
I'm sure everything's fine.
I hope you're right.
But we don't want to take any chances.
No.
Are you in any pain?
No.
No discomfort of any kind?
None at all.
Well, that's good. I'll get onto the ward at Borchester General and see if I can arrange for you to have a scan right away.
I'm supposed to be having the scan on Friday.
No, let's try and get it done quickly. I'll arrange the scan, then I'll give your GP a ring. Let him know exactly what's happened.
It is quite serious, isn't it?
I won't pretend to you. It could be. But as I said, it's just as likely that everything's fine.
Is that the invitation list?
This is it.
It's very long.
Anybody who's anybody in the whole of Borsetshire has got their name down here.
As you well know, Caroline, flattery will get you absolutely anywhere.
There are a lot of people who wish you well.
Ah, folk are very kind.
Speaking of which, yeah? Have you heard from Hazel at all?
Oh, she's a terribly busy girl, you know.
I dare say, Mr. Willie.
Shoulders a great deal of responsibility.
But have you heard from her?
Not for a little while, no.
Then how can you be so sure she's coming to the party?
Oh, I don't know. I've just got a feeling.
I see.
Let's just say I can feel it in my water, if you'll pardon the expression.
So you haven't actually heard anything?
No, but I know exactly what she's up to. She's making me think she's not coming, deliberately. But really, in actual fact, she's planning to surprise me.
Oh, you think that's what's happening?
I'm certain of it. Oh, look who's coming.
Oh, hello, Jill.
Here I come. Not breaking any speed records, I'm afraid.
But once you get in the water...
Once in the water, just watch me. I really love the swimming. It's doing me so much good.
You look very well.
And I've worked out a whole set of exercises I can do in the pool. It's all rather balletic. You should come and watch, Jack. I bend and stretch and wave my legs all over the place.
Which is me, do you?
And with any luck at all, I should be getting rid of these wretched crutches today.
Oh, that'll be brilliant. Oh, Mr. Willie.
What is it, Caroline?
I'm going to pop out for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I realised this morning I forgot to send one of my oldest friends a birthday card. I'll nip into Felbersham and sort something out. I've got to check on the party flowers anyway.
It's not like you to forget someone's birthday.
I know. That's why I want to sort it out. Promise I won't be long. You're looking so much better, Jill. Bye.
Bye, Caroline.
She's right, you know. You're almost looking your old self again.
I'm sick of imitating Long John Silver. But I hope when I go to physio today, they'll let me get rid of these clumsy things.
That'll be a relief for you.
If they don't, I think I'm going to take the law into my own hands and stuff them in the nearest dustbin.
You're very determined. That's why you've got better so quickly. Peggy's just the same. Once she's set her mind on something...
Nothing will deflect her from her purpose.
I couldn't have put it better, Jill.
How are the party preparations going?
Oh, I try not to interfere. Caroline and Peggy have taken complete charge of everything. Though, I must confess, I had a bit of a sneak preview of the guest list just now.
Yeah, Linda's been dropping some rather heavy hints.
Oh, you could put it like that. In the end, I thought, well, why not? If she's so desperate to come... She's not the only desperate one, mind. You should hear some of the messages I get from William Grundy on behalf of his granddad.
There you are, you see. The cream of Ambridge Society wants to celebrate your birthday.
Oh, damn, I blast, that's all I need.
Need any help?
Oh, hello, Caroline.
What's the trouble?
Oh, it's the blasted trailer. It's got a puncture. I don't think there's anything you can do, thanks.
Oh, dear, what a bore.
Oh, it's no big deal, really. At least we're not combining.
Well, that's true.
I'm just going to dump that bloody thing on the verge for now, and I'll come back later, change the wheel.
Oh, well, if you're sure I can't help.
No, but thanks anyway.
I'll leave you to it, then.
OK.
Oh, that's Tommy over there, isn't it? Why don't you get him to give you a hand?
Oh, no, it's all right, I'll manage. Well, I'll tell you one thing, though.
What's that?
He's making an excellent job of that mowing.
She's been gone ever such a long time. She says she was only getting a birthday card and checking on the flowers. Really shouldn't take this long.
I'm sure there'll be a good reason.
Yes, you're right.
I've got to check some of these final party details with her.
Oh, anything I can help with?
Jack Woolley, if you had your way, there wouldn't be a single surprise left.
I'll keep my nose out of things then.
You know, I was so impressed with young Tommy yesterday.
Yes, you said.
I may not agree with what he's done, but yesterday, I think I really saw his sensitive side.
He's a good lad at heart. But this silly crowd he's got mixed up with...
Well, he's not allowed to get mixed up with them anymore. Not if he doesn't want to forfeit his bail. And, you know, he seems absolutely determined to keep to the conditions laid down by the magistrate.
Oh, that must be a relief for Pat and Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hope he keeps him out of trouble. Oh, here's Caroline at last.
Oh, Mr. Woolley, I'm so sorry to have taken so long.
We were beginning to wonder.
Mrs. Woolley?
Yes?
Were you looking for me?
Oh, yes, you said you had some details to check through with me.
The flowers I've just sorted.
I think perhaps I'd better make myself scarce.
Perhaps it would be better.
See you both later, then.
See you later, Jack.
I'll go and see if there's any word from Hazel.
Oh, dear.
Hazel again.
It really breaks my heart.
I know. Mrs. Woolley?
Yes?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Go on.
I was talking to Mr. Woolley earlier. You know he's managed to convince himself that Hazel's going to make some, I don't know, surprise appearance of some kind at the party.
He said that to you?
Pretty much, yes.
I just don't know what to say to him.
Well, neither did I.
He'll be totally devastated if she doesn't come. Or rather, when she doesn't come.
What on earth are we going to do?
I think I'm going to have a few sharp words with that young lady.
There you go. One frothy hospital coffee.
Can I have some sugar?
Just a little bit.
You're indulging me.
I'm not your doctor, I'm your husband. I'm allowed.
Thanks.
Feeling better?
God, am I?
I've been in touch with Ian.
Ian?
Ian Pickworth, your GP.
Oh, yes, of course.
Told him what's been going on.
Tim.
What?
Thanks.
No.
Yes. Thanks.
I can tell you now. Earlier this morning, when you came out of the bathroom...
Oh, that was awful.
Oh, I was so worried.
Well, you didn't show it.
Ever the calm professional.
You're excellent at it.
Years of practice.
You were frightened. I was petrified.
I know. Oh, thank goodness it's over and everything's fine.
Now we've got a lovely scan photo we can show people to prove that the baby's real.
Yes. It's real, all right.
And thank God, seems perfectly fit and healthy.
Everything in the right place.
I shouldn't have been bleeding like that, though, should I?
It's very common. I've had a chat with the consultant, and he'll see you in the clinic on Friday. They may want to see you in the next couple of days, but I doubt it. You'll keep your appointment for the scan, though.
Of course.
Well, there you are, then. Nothing to worry about.
Thanks for being so brilliant.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did.
I'm your husband. It's my job.
Come here.
Isn't this a little public?
Frankly, my dear.
You don't give a damn.
Nope.
I'm just so glad everything's okay. Oh, look who's over there.
Where?
There.
Oh, David Archer and his mum. Oh, no.
I thought you liked the Archers.
I do. I just still feel a bit shaken up.
Too late. They spotted us.
Okay. Bright smiles.
Tim, Siobhan, do you mind if we join you?
No, not at all.
Have a cup of tea, ma'am.
Well, that'd be lovely, David. Thank you. I do hope we're not intruding.
Can I get you to anything?
No, thanks, David.
I don't recommend the cappuccino.
All right, I'll remember that. Of course you're not intruding.
Oh, of course not.
I see the crutches have gone.
Yes, isn't it marvellous? I just have this stick now. Physio told me I'm his model patient.
I'm not in the least surprised.
How's Elizabeth?
She's fine. Well, no, that isn't quite true.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She and Nigel are extremely worried about things at Lower Loxley.
Oh, she told me bookings were disappointing.
Two of her very best clients haven't confirmed yet. Big conference bookings.
Oh, dear. Well, perhaps they're just a bit behind hand.
I certainly hope so.
There you are, Mum. Nice cuppa for you.
Thank you, dear.
And a chocolate ice cream for me.
Why not, indeed?
She's looking good, isn't she?
Your mum?
Mm-hmm. She looks splendid.
We weren't talking about me.
We were talking about Nigel and Elizabeth.
Oh, no. Not the great millennium baby controversy again.
Beg your pardon?
Well, ever since word got out that Elizabeth's twins are due near New Year's Eve, there's been, shall we say, a certain amount of speculation.
About what?
Well, as to whether they planned it that way.
I don't follow.
Well, whether they planned to have a millennium baby. You know, on that night sometime in April when, everyone turned off their tellies and decided to go to bed rather earlier than usual.
It's ridiculous, of course. Nigel and Elizabeth have been trying for some time to have a child.
Well, they haven't exactly clarified matters. One minute they were saying the pregnancy was planned, then it wasn't planned, and then they said they hadn't a clue about it till it happened.
Poor them.
All rather confusing, really.
I just think they were embarrassed by all the questions.
No wonder. Look, Tim, it's getting on. I think I'd like to be going home now, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Hope you'll excuse us.
Yeah, of course.
We won't be staying long once I finish my tea. I've got to collect some leaflets on exercises and so on. Now I'm off those awful crutches.
Yeah, hospital cafeterias aren't exactly the most atmospheric of places to hang around, are they?
No, quite. Well, we'll be off then. See you soon, no doubt.
Right.
All right, bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Do you think they were okay?
I don't know. She looked a bit pale. She wasn't as chatty as usual.
Ah. Tim looked more like a patient than a doctor, I thought.
Yes. I hope there isn't anything wrong.
Bill, Ruth and David are taking stock of things.
Seems ages since we did this together. Walk the grassland.
I know.
Bit of a lull before harvesting begins, eh? Yeah. We ought to try and do it more often. You see, that's the key to the whole system, knowing your grass.
It's getting the time, that's the trouble.
Say that again. Oh, the mist's burning off. Love to see it when it rises like that.
Looks like it's going to be a scorcher. Mm.
And I've been thinking... Well, go on, Dad.
Phil, go on.
I thought you'd been a bit pensive lately. Yes, well, perhaps. No, but I have been thinking.
Go on, then.
Well, all right. It's just following on what we've said already. Looking at this grassland, it occurs to me that perhaps we shouldn't take a third silage cut this year.
I'm sorry?
Just for this year. Give it a try. See what happens.
Well, I know we've talked about it.
Oh. What do you think?
You mean keep it for grazing?
Yes, that's right. Extend the rotation. Keep the cows out for longer.
And later in the autumn?
Yeah. Go round the paddocks every 4 weeks instead of 3.
I see.
You see, Just not grazing it so hard. That's what I'm trying to get over to you.
Well, I'm amazed.
Me too.
I mean, we'll work out all the finer details, of course, but if we are going to do it, we can't hang about.
Well, what if we run out of silage? We nearly did last year.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
We can't run the risk of it happening again.
Well, it shouldn't, so long as we manage the grass properly.
Yeah.
Well, we shall be feeding fresh grass instead of silage. The grassland won't have been grazed so tightly, so by September it'll be growing more vigorously. With any luck at all, it should last us well into October.
Yes, Dad, we all know the theory.
But is it going to work in practice on this farm?
Well, I know we've just had a dreadful year, what with the TB outbreak and the fall in pig prices and, well, everything else. It's been hard on all of us.
You can say that again.
But as I said to you before, even in a normal year, I just wonder whether all the hassle and panic's worth it. You see, we've got used to certain routines and we just don't question them anymore.
Like silaging.
Well, do we really need so much when it's so much more expensive than grazed grass?
Yeah, but what about the money we spent on feeding it, the mixer wagon and everything?
Well, we'll still be using it, but, well, not for so long.
It all sounds very good in theory.
That's why I think we should discuss it. I don't want to force anything onto you.
No, right.
Just consider it as an option.
Dad, I'm just surprised you want to go for it so soon.
Oh, I don't know. I just feel it's time to think about it. It's a very rational thing to do.
How do you mean?
Well, look, it's all very well going for these high-tech solutions when there's plenty of money in milk. But now the prices have come down, well, perhaps it's time to go for the lower-cost approach.
You have got a point there.
You see, it sometimes seems to me that all we're doing is driving ourselves harder and driving the animals harder. And what for? Not for any more profit, that's quite certain.
I don't know. We really are going to have to think about it, Phil.
Well, do you want to discuss it properly over lunch? I'll take you down to the Bull for a beer and a sandwich. What do you say?
Bribery and corruption, now.
It'll have to be a quick one.
Well, half an hour tops.
OK, fine, Phil. Good idea. I thought I'd pop round on my way to work.
Thanks.
Oh, go on, then. You wanted to tell me something?
Yeah, I do.
Stop being mysterious.
Something's happened.
Yeah?
Three of my mates have said they'll stand by me in court.
The ones who are at the trashing?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean, stand by you?
Well, admit it. Say they were there. Take the rap.
I thought you didn't want them to do that.
Yeah, I know, but I feel a bit different now.
Prison really shook you up, didn't it?
Yeah, I'll say.
It's not surprising. It was horrible in there.
But there's my bail conditions.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I'm not supposed to associate with anyone who's got anything to do with direct action.
No.
It's hard when they're the people I want to talk to.
Have you talked to Pat and Tony about it?
As far as they're concerned, it's simple. Stick to the bail conditions.
And do you make them understand? Do they know?
Oh, yeah. But I'm a bit worried about one of them.
Why?
You know Matt Bell?
Was he there that night?
Yeah. Apparently, the others are giving him a really hard time.
What about?
This business of taking the rap with me. He doesn't want to do it.
I'm not surprised.
They're trying to make him own up with them. Sort of, well, for one thing. They're really on his case about it.
Well, surely it's up to him what he does.
That's what I said.
Matt's seen what happened to you. I mean, if he thought better of it, I don't blame him.
Neither do I.
Did you say anything to them?
Well, I've told them to lay off. I told them we've got to do the job properly. If they do get arrested and tried, we've got to get it right. And if Matt doesn't want to, no one should be giving him a hard time.
Well, you're right there.
It isn't about who takes or who doesn't take the blame for things. It's much bigger than that.
Of course.
We did what we did, and we want to make our statement about it in court. That's the important thing.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'm just trying to be practical.
Yes, I know.
If we don't cut, we shall get more growth out of the sward from, say, mid-September onwards.
And it won't be grazed so hard, as you say.
That means we could feed the cattle nothing but grass well into October.
Depending on the weather.
Oh, to some extent, Ruth, yes, but we have plenty of well-drained fields at Brookfield.
A wet autumn could change that.
Do you think it's really worth the risk, Dad?
Well, I don't think there is a risk, as long as we look after the grass.
Well, you're confident, Phil, I'll give you that.
It's just that I really do think it could do us a lot of good.
I can't say I'm totally convinced.
Well, maybe it would work. Perhaps we should give it a go.
Right. Well, if you two want to talk it through... Oh, look, can you excuse me a moment? I just want to have a word with Sid.
Yeah, all right.
He's really into this, isn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Haven't seen him so fired up for ages.
No. Well, good for him, I say.
So do I.
There is a lot to be said for it, you know.
I know there is, David.
Mm-hmm. There's a but in there somewhere.
No, it's not that. I just wish... Oh, I don't know.
Just wish what?
I just wish I didn't feel so, well, undermined.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't mean to undermine you.
I know he doesn't. It's daft, isn't it? Usually he's the one who's hanging back from making radical changes. This time I'm the cautious one.
Still, he's taking it gently. He's not pushing us into anything.
He's not letting it go either.
And he's got years of experience behind him. And his arguments are sound. Maybe this time we should give him the benefit of the doubt. What do you think?
You all right, Mum?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, just having a bit of a break before going back to the dairy.
Anything I can get you?
No, it's all right.
Cup of tea?
No, really.
I was going to make one anyway.
Tommy, stop fussing me.
Sorry.
You're as bad as your father.
Just thought you looked a bit down.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I just have to take things at my own pace.
Right.
That's what Dr. Hathaway says, anyway.
And he knows what he's talking about.
I should.
Oh, I'd better get on, then.
And I'll be over in the dairy soon. Don't worry, Tommy, I really am fine. I'll get it.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Archer.
Oh, no.
Hello, it's PC Davies, isn't it?
Sorry to disturb you.
I don't believe it.
I wondered if I could have a word with Tom.
Of course you can. Yes, come in.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
What about?
First, I need to know where you were yesterday.
Yesterday? I was here.
In this room? All day?
Of course not.
Then I'd like you to tell me precisely.
I was working all day here, on the farm.
Yes, he was.
My dad will tell you. I was working with him.
No, your dad isn't here at the moment, though, is he?
No.
All right, then. Specifically, where were you yesterday? Say, first thing in the morning?
I went up to the pig arks.
Pig arks. Right. Then what?
I helped with weeding the leeks.
On your own?
No, I was working with my dad.
And he'll be able to verify that?
Of course he will.
What's all this leading to?
Just hold on, Mrs. Archer.
I did that all morning.
Just that?
Yes.
And then?
And then I had some lunch.
And what time did you finish your lunch?
About 2.
2. And what did you do then?
I was on the tractor.
All afternoon?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Mowing.
And you'll be able to show me exactly where you were?
Of course.
Perhaps later.
I think we have a right to know where all this is leading.
You weren't by any chance anywhere near the Northampton area?
Of course I wasn't. That's miles away.
He was on the farm all day.
You sure, Tom?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Do you know a young woman called Kirsty Miller?
Yeah, I know Kirsty.
How well do you know her?
Quite well.
Have you seen her recently?
Not really.
How do you mean, not really?
Not really recently.
As recently as yesterday?
No.
Did you see her yesterday, Tom?
No, of course I didn't.
You're sure about that?
Yes.
I see. And have you ever lent Miss Miller any items of your clothing?
Oh, really? This is a bit much.
Have you?
I don't know. I might have done. I can't remember.
A blue denim jacket, for instance?
I might have. Why? Does she say I did?
And you haven't seen her?
Not for ages.
So could you please tell us what's going on?
Miss Miller was arrested yesterday.
What?
A crop of genetically modified maize was destroyed in a field in Northamptonshire, Mrs. Archer. And I have reason to believe that your son was involved.
I've told you, I was driving the tractor.
You working alone?
Yes, I was.
For how long?
All afternoon.
And no one saw you?
I don't suppose so. Look, this isn't fair.
Naturally, we conducted a search. Miss Miller was wearing your jacket, Tom. And we found this in one of the pockets.
My bank statement? All right, so what?
Well, surely just because Kirsty was wearing his
and
jacket...
And no one can verify where you were yesterday afternoon.
Look, what are you saying? Am I supposed to have driven the tractor all the way to Northampton, trashed the field and then driven all the way back to Ambridge?
I'm not suggesting you drove the tractor. Your mates could have picked you up in the car they were driving.
Except they didn't.
We've only your word for that, Tom.
The field got mowed. It doesn't just happen unless somebody drives the tractor.
You understand our difficulty? We've nobody who can corroborate your story.
It's not a story, it's the truth, honestly.
So I think we're going to have to pursue this further. And you won't do yourself any good by lying.
more than a combine to contend with.
Control that thing?
Yep.
Well, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I did get stuck once last year. Our keeper had to come and rescue me.
Oh, the gamekeeper.
Yeah, all very embarrassing.
And old Meller's always ready when you're in trouble.
His name's Greg Turner, as it happened.
So it was you holding up all the traffic on the Felpersham Road.
Oh, don't be so clever. I didn't expect to see you till tomorrow.
A student called in sick, so I had a couple of hours free.
Oh, nice for some.
Thought I'd surprise you.
Yeah, well, I'm not too crazy about surprises, Simon.
Not even pleasant ones?
There's a time and a place.
And this isn't the time?
Nothing wrong with the time.
Ah, you ready for a break? Thought we might take a walk.
No, it's thirsty work driving that combine. Here.
Coffee.
Ice-cold homemade lemonade.
Oh. Your mom make it?
That's right.
Bet it's good.
Try some. You don't mind sharing a cup?
Not at all. Oh, kind of romantic, ain't it? That is good. Here, thanks. So, the timing's okay.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
It's just the location that's not so great.
You could say that.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
You do see what I mean, though.
Listen, Debbie, I'm not going to creep around trying to avoid your parents forever.
No, not forever, honestly. I just want to pick my moment to tell them, all right? Dad's not exactly, should we say, full of sweetness and light these days.
Is he ever?
Yes, sometimes.
Sorry, Debbie, I don't mean that. Look, I've got nothing against your old man. If there's any hostility, it's all on his side. And your mom's a very gracious lady, very proper. Makes great lemonade.
I want to break you to them gently.
Gently?
You can understand that, can't you?
Yeah, I guess.
They didn't get a very good first impression of you, remember?
That was years ago.
Yeah, I know. You've changed. I've changed.
You sure have.
But perhaps they haven't. Not quite so much.
I was stupid. I wasn't fair to you.
And I was a silly young girl, a bit of a pushover. You know, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Well, you're certainly not a pushover now.
You better believe it, eh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, very good.
Yeah, just think, if I come to Canada with you, I'll be speaking like that all the time.
Yeah. Shall we go for a walk?
Okay. But let's go in that direction.
Away from the old homestead.
I think it's better.
Okay, sure. My car is parked over that way by the main road.
You have changed, you know.
You too.
Oh, in what way?
Well, you're stronger. You meet me halfway now. You don't mind speaking out.
Yeah, well, I've had lots of practice on that one.
You're still okay, though.
Yeah, you're not too bad yourself.
I should never have lent her that jacket.
You weren't to know.
I did know, though.
What?
I did know. I knew all about it.
About the action Kirsty was going on?
Yeah.
How?
She told me on Sunday.
Tommy!
I just thought the fewer who knew, the better.
Well, you're right then, aren't you? It was pretty stupid to let her get arrested in your jacket.
Just because she fancies herself in it.
Tommy!
She could at least have taken my bank statements out of the pocket.
Are you listening to me?
Stupid. I'll kill her when I see her.
You're not even supposed to be seeing her now. Now she's down as a GM activist.
I know.
So you'd better remember that.
Oh, come on, Hayley. I can't just stop seeing her. It'll be ages before either case gets to court.
Why did she have to go and do it?
What did you expect? Everyone to stop protesting just because I get caught?
I just don't want it to get worse for you.
I know. And you've been great, Hayley.
What about Kirsty? Is she okay?
She seems to be. PC Davies knows I knew about it, though.
How do you reckon that?
He's got a way of looking at you.
Oh, they all do that. It's part of the training.
I can't prove anything. I might as well have gone and joined in. I was cutting that grass all afternoon. About as far away from the house as I could have been. Nobody would have seen me.
No, I see.
So what am I going to do?
I don't know.
I'll lose my bail. The magistrate will send me back to the Nick. Dad will have to pay £1,000.
It might not come to that.
At least Kirsty and Co made a better job of it than we did at Brian's.
Well, how do you make that out?
Well, they got rid of that idiot who hit David for a start. And they let themselves get arrested. Didn't kick up a fuss. They didn't try and hide their faces.
Well, that makes a difference, I suppose.
We've learned a lot since that first one. Those friends of Kate put us wise on a lot of things.
So, are they the same ones? The ones who are going to take the rap with you?
Not anymore. They'll be standing trial for this one, not Brian's crop.
Yeah, Mum and Dad will back you up.
I'm 18, Hayley. Mum and Dad are out of it.
Yeah, I suppose they are. I wish there was something I could do. I'd better be getting back.
You have to.
I've got to finish combining that field by lunchtime.
Or you'll have your pop to answer to.
Yes, I will.
We can't have that.
It is my job.
Come on, Debbie, I do understand. Here's my trusty vehicle.
Well, I'll see you soon.
Give me a call, okay?
Yeah, I will. But like I said, I am pretty busy with Harvey. Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Coming down the road towards us.
I recognize that face.
Yeah, so do I. Okay, Simon, we're for it.
Hello, Mrs. Aldridge. How delightful to see you.
Debbie?
Hello, Mum.
Well, I thought it was you, and...
You remember Simon?
Yes. Yes, of course. Hello.
Mrs. Aldridge?
Simon was just passing.
Yeah, and I spotted Debbie on that amazing combine of yours.
Really?
Gosh, you're looking well.
Am I? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Simon was just going, weren't you, Simon?
I've got to get to my meeting.
Yes, you mustn't be late for it.
No, I mustn't. Well, I'll see you around, Debbie.
Yes, yes, of course.
Give me a call.
I will.
Do that thing. Great pleasure to see you again, Mrs. Aldridge.
Well,
yes,
that was a charming little seat.
Charming?
Simon Gerard.
That's who it was, ma'am.
Now I understand.
What do you mean, understand?
I knew something was going on, I knew it.
Going on?
Yeah, I thought he was in Canada.
Well, he isn't.
Well, why didn't you mention that to Brian and me,
look,
then?
Mum, he's got a teaching job in Felpersham.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah, he happens to like it in England.
Oh, I bet he does.
And he's always had a thing about this part of the country.
That's not the only thing he's had a thing about.
He's got this teaching job and he thought he'd come and look up an old friend. What are you looking at me like that for?
You think I was born yesterday, don't you, Debbie?
What do you mean?
This isn't the first time you've met him.
No, as a matter of fact, it isn't.
I imagine you've been meeting him on a regular basis for some weeks
Maybe
now.
Maybe I have.
And in fact, this is the person you've been doing all this dressing up for.
I haven't been dressing up for him, not specially.
Well, you had a new dress on the other Sunday.
Yeah, I just wanted to buy myself a new summer dress. Is that a crime?
But you're dressing up for him. It's starting all over again.
You're behaving as if I was a 15-year-old.
Well, are you trying to tell me it's just a coincidence that he's come back?
Mum, he's an old friend.
I must say, this time you've really surprised me.
Look, I wanted to tell you. I was going to tell you.
Then why didn't you?
I was putting it off because I knew you'd be like this about it.
You knew I'd be like what?
Like this. Look, Mum, I know Simon isn't exactly your favourite person.
Oh, you can say that again. And he's certainly not Brian.
Yeah, exactly. So if he knew I was, well, seeing him again.
So you are seeing him?
Yes, I am.
Well, he's going to hit the roof.
Yes, that's the whole point, Mum. I am a grown-up now, you know. I'm nearly 30, for heaven's sake. I'm perfectly entitled to choose who I do or don't go out with.
Well, I suppose you are.
Yes. Yeah, but Dad's not going to see it like that, though, is he?
No, Debbie. I shouldn't think he is.
Look who's here, you two.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Pip. They're playing nicely.
Peace. Perfect peace.
Yes. Cup of tea. I've just made one.
Oh, thank you. Ah, there you go.
Thank you. How are you then, Hayley?
I'm all right.
Are you all right?
I've just been helping at the pick your own strawberries.
We're having a good season, so I hear.
Doing very well. I'm not spending so much time down there now. We've been so busy childminding. Brenda and Christopher, pretty good at running the show.
I don't know what we'd have done without you.
Yeah. Right, thanks.
Is anything the matter?
No, why?
You just seem a bit, I don't know, a bit down.
I'm just a bit tired, really. You know. How's Jill?
Oh, much better. She's off her crutches at last.
So no more parrot on the shoulder jokes.
She'll be happy about that. She's been told by the physio to practice climbing stairs, so she's been up and down these stairs whenever she can.
I thought she and Phil were living down at the bungalow these days.
So did I.
Is she getting herself ready to move back here?
Well, nothing's been said, but I think you could be right.
I bet you like it here, don't you?
It's nice having all the space. It is a lovely old house.
Mm.
Takes some keeping clean, though. At least the bungalow's efficient. Have you seen anything of Tommy lately?
Yeah, I saw him this morning.
I know he's finding things difficult.
You can say that again.
Hayley?
Yeah?
Something's happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, something's happened.
Go on then, tell me. Is it about Tommy?
Yeah.
Come on, you can talk to me.
Well, the police came round to Bridge Farm yesterday.
Why?
To interview Tommy.
He has been keeping his nose clean, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Well, then.
Well, that's the problem. Oh, right. Oh, look. There was another GM trashing on Monday afternoon.
Not in Ambridge?
No, somewhere near Northampton.
I don't understand. Why did the police want to interview Tommy?
I'm coming to that.
What on earth would he be doing there?
He wasn't. He was at Bridge Farm mowing a field for his dad.
There you are, then.
The trouble is, no one can verify the fact.
Why should Tommy be suspected of trashing a GM crop in Northamptonshire, of all places?
Well, you know Kirsty Miller.
I've heard of her. Isn't she Tommy's girlfriend?
Yeah.
What's she got to do with any of this?
She was there at his latest incident. She got arrested, gave herself up.
And?
Kirsty was wearing Tommy's jacket.
What?
Good, isn't it?
And now the police are accusing him of being involved.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, poor Tommy.
Poor Tommy, all right.
He must be really worried.
Oh, of course he is.
Oh, surely Tony and Pat can verify what he's seen.
They're not going to believe them, though, are they? His parents are bound to back him up.
That's what the police will think.
Of course they will.
But that's terrible. With him being out on bail as it is. If the police bring new charges as well, that could be really serious. I mean, he's in enough trouble already. It doesn't bear thinking about. I wish there was something we could do.
I don't know what to do, Ruth. I haven't got the foggiest idea.
Amazing.
He is amazing.
It's hard to believe he's right here in the room with us. And such a clear picture.
It's fantastic what they can do now.
Wonders of technology.
I was terribly worried.
Oh, poor you.
I was certain sure something had gone dreadfully wrong.
You must be so relieved.
Tim took me to the hospital and we had the scan done there and then.
Thank goodness he knew exactly what to do.
One advantage of being married to a doctor.
I'll say.
When they showed me the image of him on the screen, everything felt all right again.
It's quite a moment, isn't it? Oh,
suddenly he seemed real.
And safe inside you.
Yes.
Well, it's certainly one for the family album.
Thanks for showing us.
Don't forget you promised to show me your scan of the twins.
Oh, everybody but everybody has to be shown that.
Why should you be any different? I'll go get it now then, shall I?
Oh, yes, go on.
I know exactly where it is.
You should do.
I'll be right back.
You must be very happy.
Mm. We'd sort of given up hope, really.
Perhaps that's why it happened.
How do you mean?
Oh, it can go like that. It's probably the last thing you were thinking of. So you were more relaxed about, you know, making love.
I suppose that makes sense. But everybody in the village seems to think we worked it all out down to the last minute and second.
Ah, the famous millennium baby syndrome.
People assume the most extraordinary things. I'm getting quite fed up with it. Oh, well done, a millennium baby. Nigel and I just aren't like that. As if one night you go, right, come on, the moon's on the cusp of Venus, let's get on with it.
Well, some people we know have done exactly that.
It seems rather cold and calculating to me.
Yes, would take the spontaneity out of your sex life. Oh, I bet your parents are pleased.
Over the moon. They can't wait to be grandparents again.
Mine are the same.
It's lovely.
Oh, you know what the Irish like about family.
Oh, not much different from the English, I don't suppose.
Any old excuse for a hoolie.
A hoolie? Oh, is there one going?
You two will be the first to be invited.
You bet. Here it is, then. The famous photo. Hello magazine offered a fortune for this.
We turned them down, of course.
Of course. There they are.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It is pretty amazing.
It certainly is. Look, you can see both of them so clearly.
Eenie and Meenie.
I beg your pardon?
Nigel's names for them.
Yeah, well, this one's Eenie and this one's Meenie.
Ah, very original.
It's only until we can think of proper ones.
Well, no, that's not an easy one, is it? Trying to please everyone.
Oh, tell me about it. There's all the family names that have been handed down for generations.
Then there's the problem of which side of the family you choose.
And then there are the names you want to have.
Oh, they come very far down the list.
Not my list.
I wanted Cuthbert and Viola, but Lizzie wouldn't hear of it.
Well, let's say I would need some persuading. But I must admit, I almost prefer Eenie and Meenie.
Well, the good thing is, you've got plenty of time.
Hello, Hazel. It's Peggy. No, nothing's happened to Jack. Did you get my messages? I've been trying to contact you all week. Is your answering machine not working? Then that's very strange. Now, listen, I want to talk to you about your father. You know he's convinced himself you're coming to his party next week. I don't know where he got the idea. Certainly not from me. I think it's just wishful thinking on his part, don't you? I know you've explained, but you're the one person he wants to see more than any other. Yes, of course you're terribly busy. We're all busy. I just thought you might try and make an effort. Hazel, if you can't do that, will you please make sure you send him a present of some kind? But I don't know what kind. Work it out for yourself. Oh, honestly. If you can't manage to buy him a present, at least send him a card. Will you do that? Will you? Oh, there's someone at the door. No, I can go on talking to you. I'm using the handset. Just a minute. Whatever you do, don't go away. Excuse me, Jennifer. I've got Hazel on the phone.
Shall I come back later?
No, no. Come on in. Are you still there? Now then, as I was saying, you must at least send him a birthday card. You could manage that, couldn't you? No, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm telling you straight, Hazel, that if you don't get yourself out and buy Jack a present, or at least a birthday card, you will have me to answer to. Is that perfectly clear? Good.
No need to ask you what that was about.
Oh, really? The girl is quite impossible. I'm sorry I came to the door with a phone.
No, no, that's all right.
I was determined not to let her wriggle off the hook.
You sounded very determined.
Ah, sometimes you just have to be.
Well, you certainly put it to her straight.
Coffee, Jennifer?
No, no, thanks.
Ah, it's nice to see you anyway.
Well, how are you?
Oh, a little harassed, to tell you the truth. Caroline's doing a wonderful job with all the party preparations, but I just want things to be perfect for Jack. Mm-mm. Anyway, have you called round for anything special?
Oh, it's not exactly a social call. Well, it is, but... No, it isn't. I've got a problem, Mum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, if you've got the time.
I've always got time for you, Jennifer. You know that.
Oh, thanks.
So, what's it all about?
Debbie.
Debbie? Why, what's she done?
Oh, I don't know where to start. I've got myself into such a state.
Yeah, I can tell.
Do you remember that Simon Gerard?
Wasn't he that Canadian boy she was so keen on at one time?
No, hardly boy then or now.
Oh, they all look like boys to me.
Well, he's back. I saw him yesterday.
You mean he's here on a visit?
No, permanently. Well, at least he's got a job. He's teaching at Felbersham University.
Ah, I think I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, he's come back and he's got a job and it appears he's hooked up with Debbie again.
Ah.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you remember the Sunday before last when we were sitting by the pool?
You told me she got dressed up very smartly and gone out.
Yeah, and that she'd been very secretive about where she was going.
She was going to meet this Simon Jack.
Yes, that's right. And I discovered them yesterday, quite by accident.
Oh, very dramatic.
And I was driving back from the village and they were there, standing by his car, very close to each other.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it?
Debbie is 28 years old.
But she hasn't any idea what she's getting herself into.
Oh, I must disagree with you there. I'd say she's a very capable and sensible young woman.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well, I think...
Look, what on earth am I going to tell Brian?
Ah, I seem to remember Brian threw him out of the house the last time he saw him.
Yeah, that's right, he did. Heaven only knows what he'll do this time if he finds out what's been going on behind his back.
And what does Debbie say?
Oh, the usual old stuff. We're just good friends.
Well, has it occurred to you that she might be telling the truth? They might be just good friends.
Oh, didn't look like that to me yesterday.
And why do you have to tell Brian anything at all?
Well, surely I've got to.
I don't see why.
Are you really suggesting
I
that
might I... be.
Oh, it'd be a great relief if I didn't have to.
You didn't know about it yourself until yesterday. I'm sure Debbie's just waiting for the right moment to tell you both whatever there is to tell. Obviously, she's nervous about doing so because she knows how you'll both react.
Just like this.
Exactly. In any case, you can be sure things will take their course, whatever any of us might think about him.
So you think I should just leave it then and not tell him?
It may all blow over, and then you won't have to.
Oh, and we all know how Brian's inclined to go over the top, don't we?
Indeed we do.
I declare this, the quarterly business meeting of Lower Loxley, open.
Those present, Elizabeth and Nigel Pargeter.
First item on the agenda, the survival of Lower Loxley. Bookings.
It's bad news, I'm afraid. I've heard from those two firms we were waiting to confirm.
And?
They're going elsewhere.
No, both of them.
Both. It's that new conference facility that's just opened outside Felbersham.
Atherton Lodge. I've driven past it. I must say, it looks pretty swish.
It says they've got a swimming pool.
We must find out more about it.
Send for the brochure.
Well, not from this address. They'll know we're worried. We'll get Shula to send off for one.
Sussing out the enemy, eh?
We've got to, Nigel. It could be a serious threat to our business.
That Death Watch beetle did us no good at all. All those potential 21st birthday parties and wedding reception bookings took one look at that scaffolding and skedaddled.
You can hardly blame them.
Still, now we've got the old place back to normal, we can capitalise on the oldie-worldie charm. And there'll be the art gallery opening in the autumn.
I know. But we make so much of our income on conferences and seminars. We've got to be right up to the mark, Nigel, or this Atherton Lodge place is going to slaughter us.
And what are we going to do when Eenie and Meenie decide to put in an appearance?
Exactly.
Hey, Lizzie, I've been thinking. I'd like to propose that we employ a manager. On a temporary contract, of course. But, well, that'll give you a breathing space until you know what you want to do.
We're supposed to be saving money.
Yes, of course we are.
I've told you, Nigel, I want to get back to work as soon as I can. You can cope for a few weeks while I get fit again after the babies, and then we can get a full-time nanny.
What, that's saving money?
It's going to be one or the other.
Nanny or manager? Oh, can we put the decision off for a couple of months? We may feel different about things once the babies arrive.
I suppose so. But don't forget, nannies come cheaper than managers.
I suppose they do.
Go on, you have a try.
Oh, I can never tell. Barley testing's not my strong point.
Of course you can do it. Go on, split open the grain.
About a week, I'd say.
Yep. Maybe a bit longer. Say 10 days.
You'll let Phil know?
Yeah, of course.
Keep him in the picture.
Uh-huh. Come on, let's have a walk. I saw Debbie on the big combine the other day. They're well into it.
She handles it brilliantly now.
Yeah.
Spoken to Healy today?
No.
Tommy's got himself into a right old fix.
Was he really involved? Do we know that for certain?
Healy says Tommy wasn't anywhere near.
Well, he'd be very daft if he did do it. He's on bail.
Can't believe he'd lie about something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole point of the protest is to be public about it.
But would he stick his neck out like that?
Haley believes what he says anyway.
She's nobody's fool.
And she does know Tommy extremely well.
Yeah. Well, I only hope she's right.
Trouble is, there's nobody can give him an alibi. Because he was working alone all afternoon, mowing for Tony.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. What did you say he was doing?
Mowing for Tony in the...
And what day did you say he was supposed to be in Northamptonshire?
Monday.
Afternoon? Monday afternoon?
That's right.
Oh, no. Stupid on me.
David, what is it?
I thought it was Tuesday.
No, Monday.
And he says he was mowing on that other bit of land of theirs.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him when I had that burst tire. You remember, on the trailer? I told you, Caroline stopped to see if she could help. We looked over into the field and saw Tommy on the tractor, large as life.
Of course!
Yeah, and when I went back later with a Land Rover, he was still there. Well, that gives him an alibi, surely.
You've got to ring the police.
I'll go back and do it now.
Go on, get on with it.
I'll tell you what, I'll do better than ringing. I'll drive down to the police station in Borchester. Thank heavens I can do something for him. I've been feeling lousy about landing him in it.
Hello, Chris.
We're going to hit all the traffic.
Tell me a minute.
And I've got a busy day at the stables.
I know that.
And I want to get to the shops early.
Just come have a look at these, eh?
Ah, those the ones?
Aye. They're good at the game fair with me.
Nice birds.
Not too bad, are they?
They should go down well.
Do you think folk will be interested?
I think they'll be fascinated. And they'll be all the more impressed when they see the keeper dressed smartly in a brand new jacket.
Oh, what's wrong with the one I've got?
George Barford, if you think I'm going to let you put in your appearance at the game fair in that worn-out old creation, you've got another thing coming.
I hate shopping.
George?
I could always buy myself a new jacket at the fair itself. They come cheaper on those clothes stalls.
There won't be any time, George. You'll be getting your award on the Friday. William can take over perfectly.
Oh, he's not but a lad.
You're always telling me how well he's doing.
Well, he may be doing well, but he's still a lad.
George, you promised. When you go up to get your award, there'll be so many people looking at you.
How many do you think?
Oh, I don't know, hundreds.
Hundreds?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime, George.
Well, a A long service award,
eh? Great honour.
If you'd have told me when I started keepering, I was going to end up getting one of those.
I wouldn't have been in the least bit surprised. Richly deserved, in my opinion.
Ah, well, you're biased.
Of course I am. I'm terribly proud.
What you got there, Etta?
Oh, just sending off a few checks, Clary, love.
Checks? What checks?
Oh, just a couple of overdue bills.
Overdue bills?
Nothing to fret about.
Oh, it's nothing to do with that forager, is it?
Of course not.
Are you sure, Eddie?
Of course I am.
It's just one thing after another these days.
Oh, you're right there.
Still, when you think what it were like after the fire, I suppose things aren't too bad, really.
Who are you trying to convince?
At least we've got rid of the beef barn at last. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah. But we ain't got no beef on this farm.
It don't matter. It'll cheer everybody up. And that'll have a knock-on effect on everything else. Milk, even.
We ain't going to see a lot of beef exports this year. Ban or no ban.
It's good stuff, British beef. Best in the world.
Well, so it might be. Well, we've still got to convince them, though.
No, it don't matter. They've opened the door. That's the main thing. So now our exporters can go over there and start selling.
Well, let's hope they're on the ball.
When's it coming in, do you know?
August the 1st.
We'll have to keep an eye on the prices down Felbisham Market. See if they pick up a bit.
Wouldn't hold your breath.
They might do. Let's just wait and see, eh?
I can't see it helping us. What about the daft report from the monopolist people, eh? Making out the public are getting overcharged for milk.
Oh, I never heard nothing so daft.
Oh, nor have I. Look at where the prices have come down. If this is overcharging, we ain't making a very good job of it.
It's just nice to hear a bit of good news for a change. Ruth was saying, hey, please, she worried about it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, love.
And at least I'll be bringing a bit extra home from the dairy this week. What with Pat feeling so down, it's been a fair bit of overtime.
Oh, drinks are on you then.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, go on. When did you and me last have a drink together, eh?
Well, I suppose I could meet you for a quick one at dinner time. We do deserve a bit of a treat.
Yeah, too right. You're working our socks off lately.
Speaking of which, what were all that banging going on earlier?
Oh, that?
Yes, that.
Nothing much.
What you up to, Eddie?
Just a little something I got planned for the raft race, that's all.
Oh, I shouldn't bother. You lads don't stand a chance against us, Ethel, whoever it is, maidens.
What, Janet Fisher's ladies' team?
That's right.
Not many maidens amongst you lot.
Don't you be insulting. She were a Saxon queen. Come from round these parts. She were like Boadicea.
Fascinating.
Oh, go on, Neddy, tell me what you're up to.
If you want to know, I'm looking for some old tin cans to make a bit of Viking armour out of.
Vikings didn't wear armour. Don't you remember nothing from school?
Just as she's beginning to turn a corner, doing well, taking things slowly, at her own pace, as you told her to, then crash, down she comes.
So things aren't looking too good for young Tommy.
Oh, he swears he had nothing to do with this one. I believe him, but I have a feeling that the police are not exactly satisfied with his explanation, shall we say.
And naturally, all this has taken its toll on Pat.
Just at the time, she was at her most vulnerable. I'm only sorry I wasn't there to support her this time, when the police came round. Now, everything fell on Pat's shoulders. It's really brought her down.
I'm sure it will have done.
I'm very worried.
I know, but well, I'm reluctant to increase the dosage of the antidepressants.
Oh, I don't want that.
And I don't know what else to suggest. There isn't any magic formula for this. It just takes time.
And there's not a lot you can do.
Well, she's bound to have her good days and her bad days. It's the nature of the beast.
But she'd been doing so well. It was such a shock when she suddenly couldn't cope.
It's very difficult. If anything, I'm more concerned about you.
Me? Oh, I'm all right. Really.
You're looking after yourself?
Trying to.
Getting enough sleep?
Yeah, I think so.
Look, if you possibly can, try not to take on too much of Pat's... what? Emotional baggage. You've got your own feelings to cope with.
I certainly have.
You've got to give yourself the time and the space to deal with them. Do you know what I mean?
The only thing that really works for me is to get on with things on the farm. Get my head down. Get on with it. Work.
That's all very well, but do try and take a bit of time for yourself. Do something you enjoy doing.
Like playing cricket?
Not just cricket. Take some time off.
Chance would be a fine thing.
You're going to be no good to anyone. Pat, Tommy, Helen, or anyone else if you don't look after yourself.
Oh, yeah, I do see that.
Good.
Well, thanks.
And listen, if you need to come and talk any time, if only to get things off your chest, make an appointment and come and see me. I may not be able to suggest any practical measures, but I've got a good pair of ears.
It does help, just to have somebody to listen. Tell you you're not going completely barmy.
You're certainly not doing that.
Thanks.
People forget that depression can, in its own way, be just as difficult for the partner.
Yeah, you feel so damned helpless.
You're helping Pat more than you realise. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, Tony.
Yes, yes, of course.
Yes, Susan. Oh, I see. Right. Look, Tony, will you excuse me a minute? I've got Siobhan on the line.
Oh, that's okay. I'll go now.
Oh, you can wait if you like.
No, it's all right, Tim. Cheers, Tim. See you.
All right, then. See you soon, Tony. Hello, darling. What? Look, just calm down. You've what? Right. Right, I see. Look, I'll be right over this second. Yes.
Oh, Tim. I'm sorry.
The bleeding's much worse this time, is it?
There's a lot more, yes. And I'm in a lot of pain.
Right. I'll ring the hospital and we'll go straight over.
I'm losing the baby, Tim. I know it. I'm losing the baby.
There you go, Alistair, mate. A pint of Shire's on the house.
Oh, that's not necessary, Sid.
Well, I think it is.
You've already apologised.
Oh, I know, but... Well, I was well out of order on Sunday, shifting David Usher about on the field of play. You had every right to be angry.
It's forgotten.
Oh, thank you. By the way, have you found anyone to replace Eddie and Neil for the little Croxley game?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I have. A couple of mates of Robert Snell's are coming over from Brum.
Oh, I see. Hello, Clary.
2 points of Shire, Sid, please, for me and my lady wife.
Oh, that'll be the day. Just an orange juice, Sid.
Hey, here the ladies' team in the raft race are signing up some pretty formidable names.
We've got some talent on our side, you could say, yes.
Yeah, rafting ain't a girl's sport.
They were in Viking times.
Yeah, but they was different then. Butch birds they were, not delicate little flowers like you.
Thanks a lot, I don't think.
Now, let's look at the real opposition, eh? There's the Cat and Fiddle, of course.
We'll soon make short work of them.
It's Darrington Village Hall.
Dark horses they are.
Borchester young farmers, including your William.
Now, they're going to be tough to beat, Eddie. They're fit young lads.
They're full of lager and wind, most of them, no problem.
There's the Borsetshire Sea Cadets.
Yeah, they're just kids.
Hey, let's go and sit outside, Eddie. It's lovely and sunny.
You're going to tell me more stories about ancient Britain, then, are you?
All right, no, if you're a good boy.
Now, as I was saying, Alistair, I've been doing a bit of ringing round this week. You know, pub landlords, mates of mine in Little Croxley. I've got a couple of useful little old tips about the cricket team that I thought I ought to pass on to you.
Oh, that's very good of you, Sid.
Yeah, spot the old MI6. Touch of the John Le Carris. Comes in useful when he's the team manager.
Oh, I'm fascinated.
Yeah, my mate Charlie Warris at the Croxley Arms was particularly helpful. He's a bit of a cricket buff, is Charlie. Very good mate of mine. Go back years.
Yes?
Yes, what?
What does he advise?
Oh, yeah, see. Yeah, well, according to Charlie, if we win the toss, we should bat first. Little Croxley hate chasing. Time running out, all of that, they get rattled.
Well, that would depend very much on the weather conditions, Ed.
Well, yes, of course it would.
And the state of the wicket.
Well, certainly.
Then, of course, we might lose the toss.
Yeah. Well, there's no need to be defeated.
Afternoon, Sid.
Oh, Mrs. Barford. Nice to see you. George?
Afternoon.
You're looking very smart, I must say.
Two ginger ale, Sid, please.
Two ginger ale.
Do you like his new jacket?
Is this for your appearance at the game fair?
Christine's idea.
Well, it looks splendid.
Feels all stiff.
You'll soon wear it in.
And it's hot.
Don't you dare take it off.
All right, all right.
I believe congratulations are in order.
He's too modest to admit it, but yes, they certainly are.
Give up, Chris.
He's being presented with a long service award at the game fair.
Well, you can both have these drinks on the house.
Oh, that's very good of you.
Oh, yes, thank you. Much appreciated.
There's a nice seat over here, love.
Oh, right.
Right, what do you think about what I just told you?
About Little Croxley? Well, I think we'll wait and see what happens on the day, shall we?
Well, if you like, Alistair, you're the captain.
Any more advice?
Yeah. If they go into bat first, put David Archer onto bowl first. He's good, fast, aggressive. Their opening bat, Crocker Harris, doesn't like it.
I'll bear it all in mind, Sid. Thanks.
Are you all right?
Yes. What about you?
Don't worry about me.
Can I come home?
I'm afraid not.
What are they going to do to me?
They're going to give you a D&C.
To get rid of the baby?
We've already lost the baby. It's to, clear the womb or you'll carry on bleeding.
Stop being a doctor.
I'm sorry.
To get rid of the baby.
The baby's gone. You'll have to have a general anaesthetic. You'll be in overnight. You can rest.
Rest? I don't want to rest.
You must.
I've lost my baby, Tim. He's gone. We've lost our baby.
I know.
Oh, my darling.
We've lost our baby. I can't bear it. I can't bear it.
The Archers was written by Chris Hawes, and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Jeremy Meadow, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.